Before long, we'll be where it would have taken mankind millions of years of learning to reach.
And what will Mitchell learn on getting there? Will he know what to do with his power?
That's the big agenda here, is undermining the whole idea of journalism, and that's the real thing to worry about.
The good old Ministry of Truth has another outlet.
Too often, broadcast radio insults your intelligence instead of respecting it, improving it, challenging it. But not here. Where knowledge is power, this is Powerful Radio. This is 30 minutes of information and inspiration. This is the Ministry of Truth. Hello, and welcome to the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Stepanchuk. On this episode, we'll hear an interview with Tom Tresser, longtime Chicago political activist who is running in 2010 for Cook County Board President, the county that services Chicago. The following interview with Tom Tresser was recorded on July 28, 2010. We are joined via Skype with Tom Tresser. Tom Tresser is a political activist, community organizer, and educator who is running for office. He is running for Cook County Board President on the Illinois Green Party ticket, and he is joining us from Chicago. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mitchell. Thanks for having me through the miracle of the internets.
Yes. let's begin by asking a question that I customarily ask of folks who do run for political office and who grant me the chance to interview them about it. Why are you running for office?
Well, I teach college. I teach civics at DePaul. I've been in Chicago 30 years. I'm a lifelong activist, organizer, fight for social justice, do a lot of causes, including media access, which is near and dear to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you can say I'm mad as hell and don't want to take it anymore. And I've been urging people in the arts to run for office and to be present in civic life for 20 years. And through a chain of events and circumstances and actions and fights that I'll tell you about, I've just come to the point where, you know, Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. Well, I guess I'm at the point where I'm saying, be the leader you want to vote for, because they're not there. So we the people have to sort of step up our civic participation a little bit and start to take back our government, because it's been hijacked. So that's really the bottom line. Is I'm just really tired of fighting for causes from the outside. I think it's time for activists to get involved and become the government, and to do it through the Green Party, because I have pretty much given up on the Democrats as any hope of supplying social justice, peace, and grassroots economic prosperity. Kind of a bottom line is lifelong activist, getting involved in partisan political campaign, seeking office to do good justice and service for the people of Cook County.
What are some of the planks of the platform that you're running on in your campaign?
Well, Cook County is, famous for corruption, waste, incompetence, clownishness. It just so happens that the day that we're doing our interview is the day that the corruption trial of former Governor Blagojevich went to the jury. And we were treated to several weeks of testimony and these tapes getting the governor cursing a blue streak, bemoaning the fact that he's stuck in this job. He only was actually in the governor's office working from 1 to 7 hours a week. It's an embarrassment. And I'm believing that he's going to go to jail, that the prosecution proved their case. So we'll have a Republican governor, followed most likely by a Democratic governor, going to jail. And so the corruption in this area is legendary. Just earlier this week, Al Sanchez, the former head of streets and sanitation for the mayor, was convicted a second time for corruption. About 2 weeks before that, former Alderman Isaac Carruthers pled guilty and went to jail for 2 years. He has the distinction of being the 29th Chicago alderman to go to prison in as many years, and on and on. So, number one, we've got to rid the local government of this grip that a few political families have had on it for generations. These political families, the Strogers, the Dalys, the Madigans, the Burks, treat government like a private business, like a like an ATM, and it dispenses cash, contracts, and favors to their insiders and friends and family. And that's got to stop, because corruption is the enemy of justice. Corruption is the enemy of service. Corruption is the enemy of excellence. So in order to make Cook County a real center for excellence to serve the people of Cook County, we've got to fire the Democrats and root out these the waste and the patronage. So that's the first thing. I'd be pretty ruthless about this. You know, my motto is I'm unbossed and unbought. You know, I'm the guy that nobody sent, and that would be the case with me running the Cook County government. But that being said, on the positive side, what I want to do is expand healthcare service by the use of storefront clinics staffed by nurse practitioners who can provide just about most of primary care services that, that the average person would need on a daily basis, and to do it in such a way that nobody in Cook County would be less than, that would be more than about a 15-minute drive from one of these centers. That's quite an innovative program. I want to do a complete audit of the county for health care and to see what the trends are, where people are wanting, and what are the unhealthy trends. You know, we have alarming rates of obesity in this county. We have, especially in the African-American community, high blood pressure, which is preventable, diabetes, which leads to unnecessary amputations. We need to really aggressively attack those public health issues, and also to treat gun violence as a public health issue. So that would be a major initiative that I would want to do. Connected to that is an urban agricultural initiative. You know, there's a lot of vacant land in the county, including the city, and I would start turning that vacant land into farm production, food production, to try to solve some of the food justice issues, some of the so-called food deserts issues that we have, where people don't have access to fresh food, which leads again to health, poor health outcomes. So those are a few of the ideas.
Yes, yes. Some people may hear what you're talking about and may justifiably applaud the high ideals that you're espousing in the campaign. However, and you especially find this with a lot of parties that are not connected with corporate money, especially in these days post Citizens United, that a lot of people may say, well, that sounds great, but you're facing an uphill climb. It's basically a quixotic campaign. It's bound to go for naught. When you hear people who may raise a complaint like this or even a criticism like this, how do you respond back?
You know, third parties are strong all over the planet. America is the outlier. Green Party members hold, you know, government positions in many countries around the world. I mean, they hold ministerial positions. They're part of the ruling coalition. The in America, though, we've sort of become hypnotized into this two-party way, and in and that then becomes compounded when the media refuse to cover third-party candidates. So it becomes a bit of a self-defeating feedback loop. You know, the media will say, well, you're not real. You don't have a lot of money, but then they don't cover you. So the public can't find out about our good ideas and our very good candidates. But when they do, they like what they hear. So we're not spoiling anything. If anything, you can't say the system is so rotten. How can it be spoiled, given the fact that Illinois is about $13 billion in debt, $1.4 billion in unpaid bills, which directly affects the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Illinois. The county is about $600 million in the red going forward. The city, who knows how broke the city is? I heard figures of $700 million deficit. So clearly something's not working here. And I think if you look at the Green Party candidates like Rich Whitney, who I just came from a rally for him, and he spoke at length about his good policies. He's running for governor. If you go to www.ilgp.org, you'll have links to all the candidates. You'll see that Rich has got great ideas for getting Illinois out of the mess that it's in, putting people to work, fabulous plans. that are doable. There's nothing outlandish about it. And the same for me. The ideas that I'm espousing are not terribly new. I've done my homework, and some of these programs are already in place in other parts of the world. So it's really, if people want it, let me put it this way. If people want change, it will have to start with their own personal civic behavior. So if you're sitting there hitting yourself in the head with a hammer held in your left hand, and you switch the hammer to your right hand and continue hitting your head, it's still going to hurt.
Because of a technical problem with the Skype audio, we switched the interview to a conventional telephone and conducted the rest of the interview with a conventional telephone. Let's return to talk a little bit more about the office that you're running for, Cook County Board President. This is an office that certainly within Chicago, which is in Cook County, there is a fair amount of knowledge about, but for others who might not be terribly familiar with it, either within Chicago or outside of it, tell us a little bit more about the office that you're seeking. What does it do, and what responsibilities would it hold, and should you win the board presidency, what kind of powers would you wield?
Okay, so we're talking about, an introduction to Cook County, or as I like to call it, Cook County 101. So Cook County is the second largest county in America, right after L.A. It's got about 5 million people, about equally divided inside the city limits and outside. And it has about 125 municipalities and 1,400 taxing bodies, which is more than, any other county in America. And it's a function of the Democratic machine. But the county is responsible for several major pieces of business. The one that most people know about is the health care system. So we're the providers of public health for the county. We're the place that people go to when there is no place to go to. And we serve hundreds of thousands of patients every year. And I really want to expand on our services and make excellent health care available to the neediest and the people who lack service the most. The other major area is justice. So we have the sheriff's department, we operate the courts and the jails, and the adult prison, and then we have the juvenile justice detention center. People may not know this, but juvenile justice was actually created here in Cook County over 100 years ago by Jane Addams and her fellow reformers. Before that time, children that got in trouble with the law were put in the adult system and were incarcerated right along with adults. And, of course, that's a horrible outcome. So at one point, Cook County was the leader, world leader, model for juvenile justice and taking care of children in trouble. And now we're abysmally, to the point where the ACLU sued the juvenile justice system and actually had it removed from the supervision of the Cook County government, and there's a federal judge who actually oversees our juvenile justice system and an administrator who reports to that judge. That's how bad it's become. Jane Addams would be rolling in her grave if she saw what the kids are going through. Now, from my point of view, my policy is I would deinstitutionalize nonviolent juvenile offenders and put them in community solutions, foster care, especially when kids are mentally troubled and have mental illness or addiction problems. So we need to not put those kids in jail and only reserve incarceration for the most violent of our offenders. This program has worked well in many other states. I even studied this system in Massachusetts for my master's degree 30 years ago. So this is nothing new or radical, but it really is a better outcome for our kids in trouble and cost the taxpayer much less. It costs about $60,000 to $70,000 to incarcerate a kid for a year, but maybe $9,000 for a community-based solution, which has a much better outcome. The other thing, as I think I mentioned, it might have been urban planning or regional planning. The county could be a much stronger leader in thinking holistically for the whole region. We can't go around pitting the suburbs versus the city or the upstaters versus the downstaters or anything like that. We have to think of Cook County as a region with regional problems that need regional solutions. That would deal with land use, mass transportation, water quality, air quality, things of this nature, immigration, all these problems and issues we should be working together on. And so the person who runs the county needs to be a collaborative leader and needs to be able to bring different sorts of people together around complex issues and get them to talk and create solutions together. And that is really what I've done for my entire career. That is my record.
And can you talk about some of the qualifications that you have that you feel makes you suitable for the job of Cook County Board President?
Well, I'm not a career politician. That's number one. I haven't hired my brothers, cousins, bus boys, or nephews for significant government work. I haven't given the highest bidder of a contract the job. I haven't doubled and triple dipped, taking two and three salaries at the same time while performing no service for the people. I haven't done any of that. So that's one qualification. I started or run 10 nonprofits in the arts, community development, and civic engagement. So I am a serial social entrepreneur, a problem solver, an innovator, a team builder, and a community builder. And I think those are the kinds of the skills that we need in public life. I bring people together. I can inspire. I think through the various projects I've worked on, I think I've probably recruited over 1,000 volunteers for different projects of one sort or another. So those are some of the skills I would bring to the table. And I'm a tough bird. I mean, to fight the Olympics, which is where I spent most of last year as one of the leaders of No Games Chicago, you have to have brass balls, pardon my French, and you're gonna need someone with courage to take on the Democratic machine because they're pretty ruthless and they're pretty well entrenched. So those are some of the most salient qualifications I bring to the table.
And that actually brings me to my next question. You were involved pretty heavily in the campaign called No Game Chicago to prevent Chicago from winning the bid for the 2016 Summer Olympics. And you had mentioned that, I guess, certainly a degree of ruthlessness was involved, especially where the 2016 committee in Chicago was certainly doing everything it could in order to try to raise Chicago's profile in that competition that was ultimately awarded to Rio de Janeiro. Talk a little bit about that campaign, especially the ruthless part. In what ways were you fighting uphill, yet nevertheless were able to, I guess, achieve the goal of blocking a Chicago Olympics in 2016?
Well, you have to understand, first of all, this was the mayor's most cherished project. He really had focused nothing on really not running the city for 2 years. I mean, he was obsessed with the Olympics. And people that know him and people who have watched the mayor felt that he was completely disengaged from running the city while it went into a hole. Kids are getting shot right and left. He's running up massive deficits. He was focused on throwing a party 7 years from now. He put his best people from City Hall into the 2016 committee to such an extent that it was hard to tell where the city started and stopped and where the 2016 committee began. He used strong-arm tactics to raise $90 million from the business and philanthropic community. So in a time when people were losing their homes, when this is the worst economic recession we've ever seen, charities here in Chicago donated over $6 million to the bid. So civic groups were told to participate or else. The coercion that happened throughout the civic architecture of the city was truly scary. Many civic leaders told me privately that the bid was a bad project, that the games coming to Chicago was just a horrible idea with dire consequences. But they dare not speak up for fear of losing the city business, or contracts, or grants, or just being strong-armed. And so it fell to a group of volunteer citizens, concerned citizens from all parts of the city. Many people were active in different campaigns. There were people who were active in housing rights, in the environmental movement. We had good government geeks like me. I pretty much classify myself as a good government fanatic. We had people who've never been involved in any kind of social change movement whatsoever, but they just felt that the games was just a horrible idea given the state of our region and our city. But we came together, and the thing that we realized early on that ultimately led to our success was that our target, if you will, really wasn't anyone here in the Chicago, because they were all in the mayor's pocket. The aldermen are all pretty much sheep and are rubber stamped for any nonsense the mayor puts in front of them. And the various boards, like the Park District Board or the Landmarks Commission or the Planning Commission, anybody who has any kind of authority over zoning or land, every one of them are all appointed by the mayor. So you can't look to them to be stewards for the public interest, because they're not. The media were echo chambers for the mayor's scam and schemes, and so there was no research done. The academic community punted. Even centers for public policy that have, you know, staffs and they're supposed to be thinking about these kinds of big issues completely clammed up. So it was up to this group of individuals. So we all did our own due diligence and became experts on the Olympic movement, the Olympic industry, what happened to other cities. And so bottom line is we realized that what was happening is there was going to be an election on October 2nd in Copenhagen, in which about 107, depending on how many IOC members were present, 100 to 107 people would vote essentially on the future of the city of Chicago. And not one of them lived in the city of Chicago or even in the state of Illinois. And 20 of them are actually members of the royalty. I'm not kidding you. I'm talking about the Duke of Orange, Her Royal Highness of Britain, the Sultan of Qatar. I mean, they're actually princes and princesses of the blood on the International Olympic Committee. And those are the people who are going to sit and vote, essentially, up or down, on the future of the city. And we realized that our job was to influence those IOC members. We had to give them information that they needed to make a good and wise decision, not just for the sake of Chicago, but even for the sake of their own enterprise. They want to see the games go smoothly, crisply, and they want to be loved. They want the people in the host city to welcome the games. And none of that was going to happen here in the city of Chicago. So our strategy was to inform the IOC members of how corrupt we are, how broke we are, how our infrastructure is crumbling and our mass transit system can barely handle the load of today's passengers, let alone a million new passengers. And basically that the people of the city of Chicago don't want this party. We have other priorities. We want our healthcare system improved. We want our mass transit improved. We want more parks, not less parks. I mean, the Olympics were going to be built in public parks, including Washington Park, Douglas Park, Lincoln Park, and along the lakefront, and the net would be we would lose open land, not gain it. So in every respect, we were trying to explain to the IOC members, you are being sold a bill of goods. Chicago is not prepared, capable, or worthy of your party, and you will be embarrassed if you bring your party here. And by the way, there are a number of federal investigations happening on some of our most senior people, and it's entirely possible that should you award us the games, by the time you get here, half the people that you're dealing with will be in jail, including the mayor. So we try to lay all that out, and you know we did so in multiple ways and over time. But that's really and to do that with no office, no phone, and no funding from anybody, in the face of this overwhelming, you know, monolithic Olympic rah-rahism was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life and the scariest thing. Many people were afraid for their personal safeties, for their careers. Many people in no games to this day don't want their names associated with the effort because they remain skittish about the mayor's you know, memory. And so that's why, you know, it was a real uphill fight. But in the end, I guess you could say this scrappy group of activists were smarter than the mayor and his best people. And we out-messaged them. And we were able to deliver all this material to the IOC members. And we know for a fact that we made a difference. It's not speculation. Now, how much of a difference? You will never know that unless somebody writes their memoirs on, you know, on the 2016 process. But we do have it on very good authority that the IOC knew who we were, and they respected us, and they listened to us.
An extraordinary tale. To go back to the campaign that you are running currently for Cook County Board President, tell us a little bit about how the campaign has been faring since you started it.
There was a four-way primary for the Democratic side, and some people thought that, you know, if three of the four, any three of the four had won, I would be the front runner right now. But the person who won the Democratic primary, Alderman Tony Preckwinkle of the 4th Ward, representing Hyde Park, was the Democratic nominee. She's very palatable to the progressive community and or to the social change community. And to my way of thinking, she's simply the new face of the Democratic machine. So I guess the first obstacle is to convince, you know, all the many of the colleagues that I've worked side by side with, literally for decades, be it in the peace movement or the environmental movement, or even some people inside No Gains. There are some people that we fought for, you know, side by side with. But when I decided to run for this office, I was told by some of them that they're already backing Tony, even though Tony was a huge supporter of the Olympics and a big supporter of the tax increment financing tool, which I believe is a giant ripoff.
TIFs.
TIFs, right. So that, you know, that kind of is the 600-pound gorilla in the room, in the sense that she's been anointed, you know, by the media and by conventional wisdom as being, you know, it's a coronation, not an election. And so there's that perception is out there. And so money follows perception. And so she's raised, you know, $1 million. I raised about 8,000. But, you know, she being the new face of the machine, the mayor has sent his major contributors over to her campaign. And so if you look through her reports, you'll see some of the same names that have popped up in Democratic politics, you know, and developers, and again, hundreds of thousands of dollars from the unions that she will have to negotiate with, you know, across the table. I think that's a conflict of interest. So that's rough. That's tough to deal with. When, you know, when you talk to your to friends and colleagues inside, you know, what I would call, you know, grassroots progressive movements, or even some of the progressive labor people, and it's kind of given that they're going to back Tony. So I have to soldier on, make my case, and, you know, basically, you know, what I'm asking people to think about is, you know, what is your marker for an independent politician in Chicago in 2010? By what do you judge someone who says they're going to be a reformer? And I think my record is superior. I've demonstrated that I will fight for what's right for the people of Cook County, not what the conventional wisdom says, or not what the mayor or some or his business backers say we need to do. But that's going to be a hard argument to make, and I recognize that. So one thing leads to another, so therefore fundraising is hard. What isn't as hard as I thought it would be is getting media attention. We have had to scold the media several times. When a story comes out, be it in the press or on the radio, where, you know, the commentator or the article goes something like, today, Democratic nominee Tony Preckwinkle said X, Y, and Z. Her opponent, Roger Teets, replied with A, B, and, you know, C. And I have to then remind the reporter or the editor that there are two opponents, or there are three people in the race altogether. And that has happened a couple of times. But because I had some notoriety from the No Games work, I can get some attention in the media, and I think when we do our debates, I don't think there'll be an issue. I will be included in the debates, and that'll be important.
And for people who would be interested in joining or helping out in the campaign, what would you suggest they do? How could they get involved?
Well, the website is www.toptom2010.us. And that's a site where you can join our mailing list, make a contribution online. You can follow me on Twitter and join my Facebook community. These are all tools that people are pretty familiar with. I'm having a house party, on a regular basis, so people can host a gathering in their homes where I will come and talk about the inside story about the games and my plans for the future of Cook County. And we'll be doing some direct mail pieces, and there'll be some other fun things going on. But the website's the place to start. And they can also email me at tom@tom2010.us.
We've been speaking with Tom Tresser. He is a longtime Chicago activist, community organizer, and educator who is running on the Illinois Green Party ticket for Cook County Board President. And we've been speaking with him about his campaign and issues he's been involved with in the past. Tom, thank you so much for your time, and good luck.
Thank you, Mitch. A pleasure talking to you.
That was Tom Tresser, recorded on July 28, 2010. The website for Tom Tresser's campaign is www.tom2010.us. Again, www.tom2010.us. Listen to all past episodes of the Ministry of Truth online at www.szcz.org. That concludes this episode of the Ministry of Truth. Special thanks to Mario and the staff of WHPK Radio in Chicago. Thank you for listening.